and fun you won't find anywhere else.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Thousands of people making their way out of the flooded Nevada desert where the Burning Man Festival was ruined by monsoon rains.
Sunny skies in the northern Nevada desert helping dry up the roads for the exodus after heavy downpours turned the annual Burning Man Festival into a muddy fiasco.
Cars driving around, no rules.
No rules, no streets.
Yeah, everyone for themselves.
These partygoers finally making it out, sharing how they got stuck in the mud waiting until roads reopened Monday.
Tried to leave 2 days ago. It was impossible.
Melissa Adan, ABC News, Los Angeles.
First Lady Dr. Jill Biden has tested positive for COVID-19, according to her spokesperson. The president was tested following her positive diagnosis, but the White House says his results were negative. A U.S. official says North Korea's leader may meet with Russian President Putin soon as Russia tries to acquire military equipment for the war in Ukraine. This is ABC News. Hawaii's governor says the state is close to finalizing long-term plans to stabilize the lives of those affected by last month's devastating wildfire.
Hawaii Governor Josh Green says the state is nearing a plan to put Maui fire victims into long-term housing paid for by the government for at least the next 18 months. Right now, they're in hotels and Airbnbs, which need to go back to serving tourists. And parents have been angry about the fluid plan for schools to reopen in West Maui. Governor Green saying,
"We will also be announcing soon a school solution for the region for all of those families, children, and teachers that so badly need to have a location to go to in the near future."
Alex Stone, ABC News.
23 people hurt in Rosenberg, Texas, near Houston, after authorities say a driver slammed into a busy Denny's restaurant. Police say victims suffered injuries ranging from cuts to more severe wounds, but all were conscious when they were taken to the hospital. The driver wasn't hurt. Police have not said what may have caused the crash. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
Ready to ride?
Just let me get my flip-flops on.
Whoa, Mom and Dad are going for a ride without their protective gear.
Quick, grab the checklist. I'll grab the gear.
Where do you two think you're going without your safety gear?
Yeah, you know how we feel about riding without your gear.
Well, it's so nice out.
And we're only going for a short ride.
Not before you put all this gear on, you're not.
But,
riding pants?
Okay.
Check.
Motorcycle boots?
Bye-bye, flip-flops.
Check.
Armored jackets?
Nice.
Check.
Riding gloves?
Two pairs.
Check.
Last but not least, full-face helmet.
Check!
Now you're ready to ride.
And you look cool.
All the gear, all the time. Zero in Wisconsin. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Be home on time for dinner.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, yeah. StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there? I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
And I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping, with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind.
All right, welcome back to a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. We are at Zeiler Union Square on 4th and Michigan celebrating Labor Fest 2023. And Calvin, man, I got to tell you, man, you are just right on point this morning. We're broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin at Civic Media's 20 different radio stations today. And I want to bring up my next guest, very special guest, Ms. Jackie Kelly, who is Wisconsin Labor History Historical Society. Good morning to you. How you doing?
Very well. Thank you for having us.
Listen, Wisconsin Labor Historical Society.
Yes.
You know the history of labor in Wisconsin.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about labor and where it is today and from your perspective.
Yeah. Well, I think what's really important about organizations like Wisconsin Labor History Society is that they let us look at the past and then use that information to help us move forward in the future. So like you and I were talking before we went on air here, Milwaukee has an excellent, rich labor history with some of the big manufacturers like A.O. Smith and the Brewers and all the other heavy manufacturing, Harnischweiger, right, that all used to be here in Wisconsin and Milwaukee. And those jobs, which were good union jobs with wages and benefits negotiated by workers coming together to act in their shared interests, that created a strong middle class here in Milwaukee. And there's also a lot of data about how those strong unions helped create a middle class that was multiracial, you know, where all these economic benefits weren't solely accruing to one group that everybody could share.
Right.
Because when you have a union and the union sets those wage scales, nobody gets paid different depending on like what demographic they come from. You're doing the same work, you get paid the same.
You know, I have to say that when I was a young man, Milwaukee had the highest standard of living for African Americans in the entire country.
Yeah.
Because of those jobs and the union.
Absolutely. Yes. And so, you know, we can look at that time and we can see a time where, you know, workers are coming together through strong unions. And then we move forward in time, we get into the 1970s, the 1980s, and what took hold of politics, not just here, but even overseas. So some of your listeners who are older maybe might remember hearing about the miners' strike in the UK in 1984. That was awful. That was totally awful. But basically, what happened during that time was sort of a economic and political philosophy called neoliberalism. And even if you aren't familiar with that term, you know what I'm talking about. You're talking about jobs going overseas to seek out disempowered workers. You're talking about the rise of shareholder value, where driving up that shareholder value is the only thing that matters. You know, communities and workers don't matter. A world where you might sum it up as capital is mobile, but workers are not. companies can go out to seek out workers, but workers certainly cannot just randomly cross borders as they see fit for the most part. And so all these things combined created a very different experience from the working class than they had become accustomed through from like maybe the 50s to the 70s. And as you were saying before we came on air as well, you know, a lot of this also has to do with politics. These things don't happen in a vacuum. You know, they happen because elected leaders who are elected, at least in theory, to represent the interests of workers, the interests of communities, which are pretty much one and the same, sometimes they do that, but sometimes they don't. You know, NAFTA was put in place by Bill Clinton, you know, a Democratic president. So,
you know, I remember when I first heard about the North American Free Trade Agreement, I know the company that I worked at, we started seeing signs of something. We didn't know what it was, mm-hmm. but we started seeing these changes, jobs, mm-hmm. certain jobs moving from here to the South where there were no unions. Mm-hmm. And then eventually from there to Mexico for even cheaper labor. Mm-hmm. And then even after they moved to Mexico, they found that there was even cheaper labor in China.
Yeah.
And so all of that happened at the expense of the American people.
Yes.
And as today we wonder why the standard of living has changed so much for the American people, mm-hmm. and it's that lack of unions.
Yes.
And what happened to the unions.
Yeah.
And labor.
Absolutely. And I think that's part of why this history is so important, is that, you know, this history shows us, you know, traditional narratives that students get in, like, regular K through 12 education, it tends to focus on Henry Ford, Vanderbilt, Carnegie. These are names that are really familiar to American students.
Right.
And names that aren't as familiar are names like Samuel Gompers, Walter Reuther, Ben Fletcher, like all these really important leaders. And this tends to be a narrative of history that really obscures this rich history of people coming together through their unions. It's a history that really focuses on specific individuals as if those people are the drivers of history. But in reality, trade unionists like us know that workers are the drivers of history. And our history also teaches us that collective action is possible and powerful. Those are other narratives that are totally obscured, often very, really badly obscured in like traditional K through 12 education.
Right.
So that's another reason I think this history is so powerful and important, is that it helps people. It sounds sort of counterintuitive because we're thinking about the past, but it actually helps us realize what could be possible again in the future.
You know, and so for those of you who are hearing this this sound right now, that's the iron workers as they are showing.
It's the sound of workers.
Yeah, the workers and, kind of doing what they do. But there are many rural people who are listening to us right now across our networks, and they lost the paper mills, and they lost their opportunities, unfortunately, at for these unionized jobs. What do you say to people in those areas in the hopes that maybe unions can make a comeback? Are unions making a comeback?
Well, first off, unions certainly seem to be making a comeback right now. I think the AFL-CIO, the National AFL-CIO, just released information earlier this week that union approval is at an absolute record high. And amongst young people, it's as high as 88% right now. So I think it's safe to say that unions are cool, if you can believe it or not. As far as what this means for folks in rural communities, I would just point out that everybody benefits when people are making good wages. You know,
Yes. We
know as working people that the economy is not driven by the very wealthy. The economy is driven by a strong middle class with a lot of buying power.
Right.
The economy is driven when everybody has the opportunity to be both buyers of goods and sellers of goods and services. And so everybody in the community needs everybody else to have money to spend. So when you support measures like a higher minimum wage, that's actually a good thing, because the people at the top, they have plenty. Like, they're fine. That is a way of ensuring that money circulates through all of our communities, rural and urban, and that a lot of these small businesses, you know, paper mills and whatever, even small family farms, that these things can continue to function.
So, you know, as we hear that riveting, that's a reincarnation of Rosie the Riveter, mm-hmm. from the back in the 1940s or 50s.
Yeah.
But when we talk about the history of of all of this, and it's rich. And you are right that it's not talked about enough in the right areas. I think politically is where we've really got to get people in unions organized to understand the power of politics.
Yes.
And I call it politricks.
Yeah.
And the politricksters.
Yeah.
To see exactly what it is they are doing, who they are representing.
Yes.
Because we do elect them and we put them in office. And if we don't follow through and follow up on what our elected officials are doing, unfortunately, some will allow lobbyists.
Yeah.
Who will come in and then kind of move those lobbyists more in line with the companies than they are the very people who elected them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think looking back at U.S. politics, U.S. labor history, and then using the past to help us understand the present, learning this labor history helps us understand more about what labor unions are and what they do, because there's enormous amount of, like, misinformation and, like, bizarre fear-mongering. I mean, there's still, I mean, it's 2023, and there's still this, like, sort of tinged with, like, this red baiting or this fear of cities and the people that live there.
Right.
All this type of stuff is always, like, these politicians dredge up these historical sort of phantoms to make people think that unions are bad, that they're just trying to take your money, which is, I mean, people pay taxes all the time, so I don't know why union dues would be, like, such a big deal.
Right.
I mean,
you know, it's so this whole, right to work.
Oh, God.
I know. I mean, there's some union people who went along with right to work.
My God.
And I'm like, do you know what that is?
Yeah.
And I don't think people even understood what that meant.
Yeah, I know. And it's, you know, I just keep kind of harping. Like, people need to learn this history. Like, if people could look at how strong unions were through the 30s and into the post-war period up until 1947 when Taft-Hartley was the national legislation that allowed states to exercise the right to work option.
Right.
And then kind of look from there, you know, the correlation, you know, unions were riding high through the 50s and 60s, but eventually Taft-Hartley, you know, it was sort of this death by a thousand cuts type thing, and then everything kind of dropped off, and then PATCO happened, and it's just everything's been really bad since then.
you know, I hate that we have to go, but you should reach out to me,
yes,
and we'll spend some real time talking about the history.
That would be wonderful.
Of labor. It's so good to see you and to meet you. Miss Jackie Kelly, Wisconsin Labor History Society.
Yes.
At Labor Fest 2023 at Zeidler
Union
Square. You know, I remember the Zeidler Park, but, you know, things change. And so we're really excited. Labor Fest 2023 is really in full motion at Civic Media's. You know, we're broadcasting across the nation, state. We'll be right back.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change.
Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy skies overnight with lows around 73. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. A mix of clouds and sun tomorrow. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Daytime highs approaching 90. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Tomorrow night, lows around 62. Chance for scattered storms Wednesday with highs in the mid-60s. Cloudy Thursday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 78.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Gene?
Hi, Matt. Thank you so much for all of the information. It's very, very frustrating to see this happening in our country and in our state. I mean, these people really are not there to work for the American people. I still swear that We're being attacked from the inside out. These people don't work for America. They're just taking up space and wasting taxpayer money and worrying about their leader, Trump. The thing that really makes me sick, though, is as I watch and record, because I pay attention to what's going on in our country, around our country and the world, and we're in a whole bit of hurt here with all of the climate change related disasters that are going on in our country as we speak. Now, these lazy son of a guns who shouldn't be there, they should be locked out of the Capitol, never allowed to return, trying to overturn our votes and all the crap they pulled on the United States. Now they don't want to pay the bills or help the people in their Republican states that are suffering right now, that are being flooded out. I mean, it's just sick, Matt. These people are sick, and those people that continue to support these Republicans, not the Republicans I know of, but the new Republican fascist group that don't give one iota about anybody, and those people that talk, you know, they proclaim their religious values. Well, these people aren't religious, and you better go back to church and look in your Bible and see what God really wants. So, anyway, Matt, I'm on a roll today.
That's good.
I just can't believe it. Take care, and thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and before we go to the next caller, I'm going to back up what you just said. You're not going to believe this. Just now, DeSantis in Florida has turned down about $300 million in federal money they're entitled to for climate change, saying, well, I don't believe in climate change, and so I'm not taking $300 million. You know, the only worst guy was Scott Walker. He turned down $1 billion with a B for Medicaid in this state, and he turned down almost $1 billion for trains. Remember that? And he turned down $50,000 for broadband. These people who say they're conservatives are turning down money that is their rightful money to help their state. And the biggest dumbcuff of all, frankly, was Scott Walker, because when he turned down the $1 billion for Medicaid, he then billed the Wisconsin taxpayers and took their taxes to pay for a big chunk of what the federal government would have already. He did that. Go to the line. Steve in Milwaukee, my friend. You're next. What's your mind, Steve?
All right.
right, Jeannie. I like her spunk. And, Matt, I got a question for you. What's this horse manure I hear about Josh Call not even being able to prosecute fake electors because of the Wisconsin law that they have to be in the county that it happened in or something like that? You know anything about that?
No, yeah. And that sounds to me like a rumor. Josh's a smart guy. I know he's not saying that kind of stuff. Fannie Willis is going after 19 people, and some of them have never had anything to do with Georgia, and she's only a DA in Fulton County. Josh Call could prosecute the fake electors. Frankly, so could the DA of Dane County. But I'm sure he's a fine fellow. Never met him, but I've never heard him mention the same name as Fannie Willis. But no, I mean, the thing is, the Attorney General of Michigan is prosecuting the fake electors. Jack Smith is prosecuting the scheme that involved the fake electors, and Fannie Willis is prosecuting state electors. There's no reason in this state. The state electors met in Madison. They met in Madison, and they did it sneakily and in secret. They kept it quiet. They said, don't tell the press. They didn't list it as something that was meeting and all that. And Ron Johnson had the fake electors for Michigan, and now, according to paragraph 101 of the federal indictment, he had them for Wisconsin, too. And he tried to get them to Pence. That's a criminal offense. Cheesebro is up there right now. Eastman is up there right now for orchestrating that. Johnson was part of it. Voss was part of it by arranging the meeting. What are we waiting for? Call Josh's office, say, Josh, prosecute these people. Stephanie of Madison, my friend, thank you for calling. What's your mind today, Stephanie?
Oh, hey, here's what's on my mind. I am so frustrated because I really, really, really would love to know how in the hell we need a massive education, public education campaign. I feel like I'm talking about a pipe dream, but we've somehow got to get the populace of this country to really understand. I think a lot of people, they're beginning to, and I think there are people who are having buyer's remorse, but they're so, you know, some of the conservatives are so married to their principles, to quote unquote, they're afraid to let go. But this is so destructive. And if these people are allowed to just do this destruction, I mean, you know, talk about taxpayer money waste. God, it's horrible. Anyway, I got to go. I'm going to take a deep breath.
No. I'm going to respond to you now. And then there are other people in the lines. Do not hang up. We have a very short break, and I'm going to get back to you right after the break. To Stephanie, I'll just say, I've known conservatives in my life. I've never known a conservative who thought about it for a second, who would say, I think that DeSantis should turn down $300 million because he doesn't recognize climate change. Is he taking a look at what's happening in his state, for Pete's sake? There's no conservative I know that said Scott Walker should turn down $1 billion for Medicaid, $1 billion for trains, $50,000 for broadband, because it's coming from the federal government, and he thinks that Wisconsin taxpayers should be double billed for it, because they also pay federal taxes. This is sick. This is insane. Shutting down the government is insane. We're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'll get back to you right after the break. Do not hang up.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom Ankrut. Then at 6, The Maggie Don Show. WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Thousands of people making their way out of the flooded Nevada desert where the Burning Man Festival was ruined by monsoon rains.
Sunny skies in the northern Nevada desert helping dry up the roads for the exodus after heavy downpours turned the annual Burning Man Festival into a muddy fiasco.
Cars driving around, no rules.
No rules, no streets.
Yeah, everyone for themselves.
These partygoers finally making it out, sharing how they got stuck in the mud waiting until roads reopened Monday.
Tried to leave 2 days ago. It was impossible.
Melissa Adan, ABC News, Los Angeles.
First Lady Dr. Jill Biden has tested positive for COVID-19, according to her spokesperson. The president was tested following her positive diagnosis, but the White House says his results were negative. A U.S. official says North Korea's leader may meet with Russian President Putin soon as Russia tries to acquire military equipment for the war in Ukraine. This is ABC News.
Experience Nightlight, September 8th and 9th from 5 until 10:30 p.m. Presented by Joy Engine. The dazzling spectacle is an immersive 4D light festival taking place in Milwaukee's historic Mitchell Street neighborhood. Digital animations, dance, music, art, and fashion combine to create a visual, family-friendly sensory experience outside of 710 West Historic Mitchell Street, home of Mitchell Street Arts. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event. Nightlight, where art comes to life. Information at joyengine.org. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
When you want something so badly, what you're able to justify and rationalize and get over. So I would say there's not a non-zero chance.
But what record would she run on? Foxconn?
Well, what did she run on for governor? Probably the same thing.
I just remember her warning about people will be marrying coffee tables once gay marriage is allowed. So I'd like her to run just so I can ask her how many of those weddings she's been to.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Live or whenever you want, from anywhere.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Do not hang up. I'll get you in order. Bob of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. Bob, what's in your mind today?
Well, they keep talking about Biden is too old and they got some ugly polls out and so forth. And it's obviously going according to the right-wing propaganda. But anybody with any common sense can see who the healthier person is, you know. and it's not 2:15. I think the president should have a baseball game on the South Lawn with a bunch of people exact same age as him and just play that out in front of people to show that, you know, 81-year-olds aren't over the hill or something like that, you know. And statistically, there's only a 13% chance somebody that age would die in a 4-year period.
Right.
So.
Right.
So he's 87% chance going to survive right through it. So
yeah, let me back up what you're saying. That you raise an interesting point. Let me back up what you're saying. First of all, Joe Biden is incredibly fit. He was an athlete in high school. He was a star athlete, football player and all that. And he's very, very fit. Secondly, and I'm going to say something that nobody will believe, but think about it. Each year, your life expectancy goes up. Each year, your life expectancy goes up because you've already made it to whatever you are and you go into the next one. And Bob is exactly right that actuarially, once you turn 80, and he will turn 80 in December. By the way, he's only 3.5 years older than Trump. I mean, Trump is no spring chicken. Trump is not in good shape. Trump is also crazy. He's crooked, but he's also crazy. And you can't tolerate another Trump administration with 4 years of crazy and crooked, and he's losing his marbles. Biden's not losing his marbles. He stuttered as a kid. He mastered it perfectly. So whether it's baseball, football, whatever it is, Joe Biden's in great shape. He really is in great shape. And right now, I mean, he's in much better shape than Trump. He's much more on the ball than Trump. And Trump is flat out crazy. Thank you very much, Bob. Chris of Sun Prairie, my friend. Thank you for calling. What's your mind today, Chris?
Hi. Well, I heard you talking about the Medicaid system, and I just thought it would be important to point out. I worked for EDS, Electronic Data Systems, back when they were the fiscal agent for the state of Wisconsin's Medicaid system. And I was an information analyst, and when we used to win contracts from the federal government, when we got money sent to us from the federal government, we all celebrated, whether we were Republican, Democrat, Independent. Everybody celebrated. That was a win for the state. It was a win for the programs where people could get the benefits. It was a win for the state because it created jobs in the state. It was a win for the state because we had innovative programs that were developed. The Wisconsin Immunization Registry was developed from that program, and the Immunization Registry is now being used in states all across the country. You know, so there are a lot of really great things that can come out of the money that comes back from the federal government. And also what you mentioned of us having to take that money out of state funds, that is money that's coming back from the federal government that we paid. So that's our money that Scott Walker turned away. Somebody else got that money. We just didn't get it. So I think people really need to be aware of that. And if I can weigh in on the second thing about age, I don't really think age is the issue here. I really think that we have a corruption problem here. Trump was corrupt, and he needs to go. And I think that President Biden should not really have to run on that. He should run on the fact that he's got the Build Back Better. He needs to be pointing out what he's done in this country, because I really don't think that's getting down to the working people. And I really think that that needs to be pushed a whole lot more from the people that I've been talking to. And I'm trying to talk to people on the other side. They need to understand where those funds are coming from. And I think that would be very helpful, that people need to understand that Build Back Better is what is building things in this country right now.
That is a splendid call, Chris. That really is a splendid call. You just gave a synopsis of, I think, the truth of what the issue is here. Thank you for calling. And get back to the Medicaid question again, and you have expertise because you worked with one of the vendors to the provider, to the recipient of the money. Scott Walker turned down $1 billion. That happened in about more than seven MAGA red states. And all the governors said, we're not taking that kind of money because we're self-sufficient. Now, they're all lying. What it was the people that get Medicaid, they were afraid wouldn't vote for them. So they basically hurt poor people. What Scott Walker did, because he knew he couldn't get away with it totally in Wisconsin, he said, okay, I'm turning it down. We're going to pay off the national debt. He didn't pay off the national debt with it. That money went to California, Minnesota, and they said, oh, my God, well, this is a windfall. But then he turned around and billed the state of Wisconsin taxpayers, you and me, for much of that. And so what was the purpose of that? Do you understand something? A lot of states, about the least federal money of any state in the union. The coastal states have Navy bases. They have space centers. You have the IRS in Ohio, you know, that kind of thing. What do we have? We get nothing. Now, we're self-sufficient. We're proud. But here, like every state, we were going to get, proportionate to our population, money to fund Medicaid. And this Republican governor turned it down. But he billed you again. So you paid the federal tax that then went on to Minnesota or California, and you paid it again. He turned down $50 million, I should say, in broadband for rural areas in the North. Everybody says the North needs broadband. I say it. Biden finally pushed it through. But before Biden, you know, if you're in a small business up there and you don't have reliable internet, some cases you don't even have reliable cell phone service. And what's that all about? Why'd he turn that down, $50 million? He turned it down because he said, I'm a conservative. He's running for he ran for president in 2016, and he looked very strong in the polls for about a week till they got a good look at him. They got a good look at him in the debates, and he looked like the groom on the wedding cake, a plastic figure, and he dropped out. But he spent a lot of money, and all of what he did that hurt Wisconsin was to try to make him look like his idea of a, quote, conservative, end quote, so he could get Southern delegates. That's what it was. That is flat out what it was. And DeSantis is doing it now. Biden called him. He said, you got to take some disaster relief. And DeSantis said, well, yeah, if you insist. But I'm not taking any of that climate change money from the from soft infrastructure. No, sir. $300 million. I'm not taking that. These guys aren't conservatives. These guys aren't Americans. Go to the lines. In order. Do not hang up. Wisco Paul, my friend. You're next. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Thanks for your show. Thanks for taking my call. The first thing, you said it a long time ago, the Republicans can't handle money, and that's so true. There's a whole list of things. The train money, as far as that goes, we're paying from the Milwaukee to Chicago corridor, and a lot of that would have been paid for if we'd taken the train money. So you're paying that again. Of course, there's the Medicaid money, and the list goes on and on. And then that's even compounded with boss hiring people like Gableman, and now the Republicans are going to use lawyers to fight gerrymandering. This all adds up to the taxpayer, and it's in the millions and millions of dollars, Matt. And I just wanted to mention one thing about religious folks. I love them. I go to church myself. But a lot of them are one-issue voters, abortion, and you can't talk to them. That doesn't make them bad people, but that's just the way it is. You hit the nail on the head, as you'd say, Republicans cannot handle money. Thanks, Ben.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Paul. Before we go to the next, I just want to say, you know, on the issues and the money, that's exactly right. On the religious thing, I just want to say to everybody, we believe in the separation of church and state. I have enormous respect for people of all religious faiths. I don't question their motivations for doing anything. They're all good people. And that issue of separation of church and state, of having no established religion, this was passed by our founding fathers in the First Amendment. It is the most significant insight in political philosophy in the history of America, in the history of mankind, in the history of the world. It is the one thing that separates us from a lot of other countries. So just so you were clear, I see no correlation. I speak of no correlation between religion and political issues. People are all over the lot. But I appreciate your call, Paul. We're going further to the lines. Do not hang up. I'll take you in order. Jake of Milwaukee, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Jake?
This is always my slogan for voting Republican, at least the last, 30 years maybe, is that if you want to be poor, you want to be less healthy, you want to be more uneducated, vote Republican. Because that is exactly what you're going to get. Because they no longer have common sense or use science or do any of the stuff or have any, you know, like personal morals or any of that stuff anymore. It's all gone. And I just think that, you know, everyone should keep that in mind. And the single issue voters for abortion, you know, like how many people die from air pollution, right? It's like the worst thing that kills most people on the planet and our country. So you guys, who you're anti-abortion people, you actually support people who kill more people. I mean, maybe inadvertently, than you actually save. So.
Yeah, no, Jake, thanks for calling in. As in regard to the first part of your call, there was a great saying we always used to use. If you want to live like a Republican, vote for a Democrat. But on the other stuff, to be very honest with you, I do not see or speak of a correlation between religion and any political issue. Religion's separate. Under the First Amendment, separation of church and state, no established religion. I have no criticism of any religion, none whatsoever. I have great respect for all people who worship, and we talk about issues only. Mark from the SAC, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Mark?
Yeah, it's interesting. I see today that Clarence Thomas now plans on disclosing all the gifts he gets from all his rich buddies. And my point would make, and he's not honest like George Bailey's guardian angel. That was another Clarence. But Clarence Thomas, if he wants to be completely honest, maybe he should pay for his trips himself. Maybe he should pay for all his little vacations himself, rather than benefiting the way that hardly any other American actually does, by having a rich friend that pays for all his expenses and all his costs and all his little, you know, luxurious vacations and the tuition for, you know, his adopted, you know, quote unquote adopted son and who knows however much money has been stuffed into his garter belt over the years
Mark, thanks for calling. I always appreciate your calls. Karina of Milwaukee, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Karina?
Hi. I don't really agree with some of the callers saying, well, it is what it is, and this is just people who they are. No, this is not. They're working for a self-centered goals, whether it goes personally, that you want to raise your statue in the eyes of whoever for a future political advances, or you're doing it for your party because you want people to be so distracted with everyday problem that they don't come watch you debate like a swore of hyenas, or they don't know what you're doing, or they don't hear long time ago because the only thing they're thinking about is the surviving, what they're going to put on their table, how they're going to put for a rent. And right. all of it is very critical. And if you're going to look into actual statistics, and it's easy to see for with a Title 19, because you have to be qualified for a Title 19 and the base.
No, you're right, Karina. Thank you. Yeah, we have to go to a break. That's right. I mean, these people who are on food stamps or on Medicaid, they're human beings, and they should be provided that. That separates us from a lot of societies. Thank you for calling. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
The ring of fire, the ring of fire, and it burns.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars, because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, yeah. StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there? I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast.
Lows around 73 overnight under mainly clear skies. Southerly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for scattered storms tomorrow. High of 90, mainly cloudy. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 61, overcast. Mid-60s, Wednesday, with a chance for scattered storms. Upper 60s, cloudy skies, Thursday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 78.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. WLAK.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to quick talk about the 3rd Congressional District. There was a big announcement today. Two very fine Democrats who were candidates for that seat in the past have announced that they will not run again this time. There is a candidate, Rebecca Cook, that I've been quite impressed with, quite frankly. I think she's aggressive in a good way, kind of snappy and quick, very, very good, very, very good candidate. And I'll tell you what, there are several other candidates who are good Democrats who keep saying, we'll think of it and we're going to keep it open and all that. The truth of the matter is the time is getting late. And not only that, some of them who are incumbents can't really make a decision until the maps are decided for 2024 and where they're going to be. And quite frankly, you can't wait that late. And the other one, very likely won't run. I think it's time to get behind Rebecca Cook. Van Orden is vulnerable. Van Orden is a strange guy. He's the guy who carried a loaded gun into a Iowa airport. He knew that was against the law. You know, the rules don't apply to him. He was leading a beer tour, I think he called it, of the Capitol, and he saw some interns who were in high school. These are teenagers lying down on the floor taking pictures of the dome. That's what you do when you take a picture of a dome. And he cursed them. He used the F word. He used the S word. And I was thinking of the man who shot Liberty Valance. And, you know, it'd be something like when Derek Van Orden came to town, the women all would hide. When Derek Van Orden came to town, the men would step aside. Because the point of a gun is the only law Van Orden understood. When it came to cursing little kids, he was mighty good. I'm not much of a singer. In fact, I'm virtually tone deaf. But, you know, the point is the guy's got to go. The guy's a hairball clogging the drain. I think Rebecca Cook would be a good candidate. So I don't live over there. A lot of friends over there. My nephew went to UW La Crosse. A lot of buddies over there. But the fact of the matter is that something's got to be done. Get this character out there. He's a hairball clogging the drain. Put in Rebecca Cook. Now, I want to tell you, we got a tip, and I like this when we get tips from callers, and this was by email or text. And it's really an atrocity that's happening down in North Carolina. There is a Supreme Court justice down there named Justice Earls, E-A-R-L-S, Anita Earls. She's the only black woman on the North Carolina Supreme Court. And this is unbelievable. And what she did was she spoke out publicly and she said, you know, we've got to improve things down here in North Carolina in the judicial system. She said about 80% of the lawyers that argue before a court are white and 70% of them are male. And that's fine. I'm not into identity politics. But she said when an African-American lawyer or a female lawyer argues, they are interrupted. They're given much less respect by the court than other lawyers are. And she said, even I'm a justice on the Supreme Court, a black woman, and I'm interrupted by junior colleagues and even by lawyers. They interrupt her. Now, this is a fairly benign statement of hers. I mean, she said it in good faith, and, you know, let's just kind of change our attitude here. I thought it was very, very, very done. Well done. And but here's the deal. Let me tell you something. I've tried cases for a long time. I've had a number of oral arguments in the Wisconsin Supreme Court and in the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago and, frankly, in the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. And I've appeared in court in Fresno, California, and a lot of other places. I got to tell you something. If you're a lawyer, you don't interrupt the Supreme Court justice. They say their mind. They ask you the question. It may be a dumb question in your mind. It may ignore some facts. You sit there and show respect. And then when the justice is done, you might say something, Your Honor, with all respect, you said that such and such, but in Mr. Jones's testimony in the record, he said it differently. And Your Honor, I think that the way you put it is not in the record. That's the kind of thing you do. You don't interrupt her. So she didn't discipline anybody. She just comes out and says this. Believe it or not, the North Carolina Supreme Court has not started an investigation of her before their Judicial Standards Commission. And the thing is, in North Carolina, under their law, you can't just start an investigation. There has to be a serious allegation and facts to support some sort of misconduct. So she said, what is the misconduct? I just said flat out, what is true? What is factually true? And they sort of chuckle and they go, well, you know, we'll find that out. We'll find that out. She sues. She's right now a plaintiff in federal court to stop them from doing that. Now, let's get down in the weeds on a little bit of procedure here. It's true that on many things, federal courts take preeminence. But federal courts really don't like to try to show their power over state courts. It's just not right, and there's a lot of authority that says they shouldn't do it. It is true that the U.S. Supreme Court, which is a federal court, is the avenue where all appeals can end up, state and federal, yes. But you don't normally, and you shouldn't, have federal courts going in and shutting down state proceedings. I personally think, just analytically looking at this, that a federal court is very unlikely. I think it would be wrong for them to say a state Supreme Court can't, you know, apply its laws and its investigations. And if they're wrong and if they're discriminatory, then you appeal that on up to the U.S. Supreme Court. But I support her 100%. I think it is outrageous that a state Supreme Court, and this was generated by their Chief Justice, who's a real piece of work. He's a real piece of work, who says, look, I'm telling you what the conduct is. There are apparently no black law clerks for this term. I don't know if that's true, but that was what was alleged. There are very, very few female and African-American lawyers that appear before us relative to everybody else. And again, I'm not into identity politics. I frequently rail against the identity politics cult that's taking over our party. But that is a legitimate thing for her to say. She has a First Amendment right to say it. She's a Supreme Court justice. She has a good reputation. And the response should have been, well, thank you for bringing that to our attention. We're going to look into it. We're going to look into the causes. But no, what do? They investigate her for misconduct under their Judicial Standards Commission. That's retaliatory. That's wrong. Very, very wrong. I'm very grateful to our caller who we don't use last names, Mary. Thank you very much for sending that story in. And I think we got to pay attention to that. This kind of thing is bubbling up all around the country now. It's bubbling up in Florida and a lot of other places. And we got to put a stop to it. And one way to put a stop to it is reelect Joe Biden. Don't let Trump in there. Okay, we're coming to the end of the show. Great show, as always. Great callers. Matt Flynn, direct, we're back. Not same time. I'm going to be doing Devil's Advocate tomorrow from 4 to 6, and I'm signing off for today.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous.
as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic ADT Media News, app.
I'm Mark.